It was a dark and stormy night. Earthquake weather hung heavy in the California air. The neighborhood stoner packed her delicate glass pipe with the finest Cali weed. Suddenly, a crash of lightning, a bang-bang at the door. Startled, she drops her pipe on the cold, hard stone floor, shattering it into a million messy pieces. When, all of a sudden, seeping through the doorframe, the paranoid pothead suddenly spied something awful, something unimaginable, a creeping, crawling...
We interrupt this programming to bring you a special report. This is Malas Noticias, where our news is muy, muy mala. Well, bippity boppity flippity floppity, the Olympics have our heads doing the wibble wobble with recent public embrace of Rapino weed. This in the quake of their racist treatment of America's fastest marihuanera, Sha'Carri Richardson. If our reporting is correct, we haven't seen flip-flopping like this since the days of Dick Fosbury himself. If you don't understand the reference, you probably never ran track. Moving on. Local Canna cutie accused of coughing up large wads of cash to pay for the bouncing bosoms of an El Monte City councilwoman. Implants were bought, vacations to Cuba were had, cigars were smoked, and lawsuits were ultimately filed. More on that SGV chisme in just a moment. But first, it's coping time, marihuaneras. The roaring 20s are underway, and the Delta variant is here to stay. So, whether you're waxed, vaxxed, or just trying to relax, light up and keep listening to the sweet, sultry sounds of this podcast. This has been Malas Noticias, where our news is muy, muy mala.
She's a depressed 20-something with a college degree, who copes with life by smoking too much weed. Dodgy cochinos as she rolls down the street.
Oye, mami, I wanna be your dog.
Aim higher, pendejo.
Hello, hello, hello. This is Marihuanera, a podcast for potheads, and I am your most obedient host, Mala Munoz. Today, I'm smoking a pretty good mystery sativa gifted to me by my weed boyf. Shout out to him. More on boyfs later in this episode. That's boyf, B-O-Y-F, for those who are new to me and to my vocabulary. Welcome to episode 2 of Marihuanera, a podcast for hotheads. I'm thrilled to be here and to be recording a second episode. I cannot believe that Marihuanera is out in the world. You would not believe the journey it has been to get here, to actualize this idea and turn it into a fully realized piece of media, a podcast with visuals and a jingle and merch to come. So just be ready for that. And I want to thank every single marihuanera out there for tuning in, for lighting up and tuning in. And I want to remind all of you listening now that if you have not already, that you should light up, because we're going for a ride today. This is about to be a moment. I'm so excited for this episode. This episode is jam-packed because there is just so much going on in the world. And as a pothead, I've been spending a good amount of time on my couch, smoking and observing the world on TV and on Twitter and on Instagram and every once in a while when I leave to go roller skate. And there's some drama. There's some drama. But I want to thank all of you seriously for tuning into episode one. We already have over 2,000 listens at the time that I am recording this after only like, you know, being out in the world for like 48 hours. So it's an exciting thing. I really appreciate all of you. As an indie creator, it literally means everything. Every stream, every follow, every review, every comment go a long, long way towards being able to make these projects sustainable. Not even profitable, just sustainable. So I thank you all for being here. Please do your best to leave a review on Apple Podcasts if you find yourself inspired to do so. I think every time I make you laugh that you should leave a little review and a 5-star rating. That's just personally, you know, should you be so moved. As I mentioned in my intro, today I'm smoking some glorious weed that one of my boyfs gave me. I highly recommend getting yourself a boyf who grows, trims, cultivates weed. I personally feel that as a gift, weed is one of the sweetest, kindest, most thoughtful gifts that you can give to another person. Aww. I mean, roses, unless they're organic, pesticide-free, and edible enough for me to smoke out of, what really is the point? Give me a bouquet of bud if you really mean to please, you know? And I also want to ask, before we get too far into this episode, what are you guys smoking, the marihuanetas out there? And how do you like to smoke? If you can identify what I was smoking in today's ASMR, drop a comment, DM me. I'm at @Mala_Munoz. If you're a true pothead, you should be able to, like, identify very easily. I want to know what you're smoking and how you're smoking it. So leave us a comment, send me a DM, all of the above. As far as global events and world news, I'm sitting down to watch the Olympics, right? As many of us, I'm assuming, are. And what is it that I see? What do I see? I see that the Olympics are still using Sha'Carri Richardson's image and video and photos to, like, you know, promote and entertain and be part of the programming. Also, meanwhile, showing public displays of support for Megan Rapinoe's weed brand. Megan Rapinoe being a women's soccer star, an Olympian herself. She has a company called Mendy, and she's been very, you know, sort of public about her use of CBD in her training routine as an athlete. So it's just very interesting, fascinating that the same year that they decide to come down so hard on Sha'Carri, they're also, the Olympics being the they are also embracing white athletes in Megan Rapinoe, right? Who are openly talking about incorporating CBD into their routines as athletes and in their recovery routines and all that good stuff, and promoting their businesses even, while Sha'Carri was prohibited from running in the Olympics. So that's some bullshit. And if you tune into episode one, I talk about this situation with our episode one guest, Jasmine Aguiar. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant interview. Brilliant advocate in the cannabis space. Go check out that episode if you haven't already to hear more about our thoughts about the Olympics and the very unfair treatment, in my opinion, of Sha'Carri Richardson after she tested positive for having THC in her system, which, like, who cares? So what? Get over it. At this stage of the game, the Olympics need to relax and to stop criminalizing cannabis and cannabis use and stop penalizing athletes who make use of cannabis in their lives, you know? And that's that on that. That's my official word. Chill, please, relax. That's my official statement on the matter. Yes, yes, Marihuaneras. Marihuanera is a podcast for potheads created, written, produced, and hosted by me, Mala Munoz. And I thank you all for being here. Marihuanera is a Locatora production. You can visit locatoraradio.com to learn more about our indie podcast production house. Light up and tune in. Marihuaneras, we have new episodes every Monday for Marihuanera Monday. Start your week right with Awake and Bake and the sound of my voice. What more does one need to succeed in life? Que más quieren, you know? Come on. If you love the Marihuanera jingle, our Marihuanera music was made by the lovely and talented Crisol. I wrote the lyrics to the Marihuanera jingle and I handed them over to Crisol and she bodied the jingle, laid down those vocals, all those harmonies are Crisol. She got a band together and they fucking laid down the tracks and they made the music and it all came together to become the gorgeous jingle that you're bopping to at the beginning of each episode. So show Crisol some love. She's on Instagram at Crisol_. And Crisol just put out a new EP called Retroactive. So go stream Retroactive. Go stream it now. Share it with friends. And also it's on Instagram, so use it as a sound on your reels and stuff. Makes a big difference for indie artists. Our audio editor is Stephanie Franco, and our Marihuanera logo art was designed by Micah Amaro. I just want to say that I come onto this podcast with a fuck ton of ridiculous ideas, and I send our audio editor Stephanie, I send her the most outrageous mouth noises and takes and ideas, and I'm like, okay Stephanie, here it is, can you do it, can you take this and edit it into Marihuanera, into a fully realized podcast? And she does it brilliantly and seamlessly. Some really good sound work going on this podcast. Shout out Stephanie, because she makes dreams come true. Make sure that you are following and subscribing to Marihuanera across listening platforms, wherever you're listening. If it's Spotify, follow us on Spotify. Hit the fucking button. If it's on Apple Podcasts, subscribe. Hit the fucking subscribe button. Leave us a review, please. It really helps. It really goes a long way. Okay, so a boyf. What is a boyf? It's exactly what it sounds like. A boyf is not quite a boyfriend, but it's more than a booty call. A boyf is someone that you probably have some type of connection with, emotional or otherwise. This is a person that you probably actually like and want to see and spend time around, but they are not your boyfriend. This is my boyf. That's my boyf. These are my boyfs. You see? I have yet to figure out the appropriate term for girlfriend because it just does not work the same way. Cutting off the first part of the word, it sounds ugly, and I'm not even going to say it out loud. I will not validate it because it's not, I'm still working on it. I'm working on it. I'll figure it out. And when I do, I will report back to you all. But for now, we have boyf and we're just going to work on, you know, the other one, the other word. And then we're going to have a gender neutral option and it's going to be something other than boo, bae, sneaky link. No. This is a different concept entirely. And I like to think that my boyfs have like themes, like a weed boyf, you know, skate boyf, you know, what have you. The list goes on and on and on and on and on. Yeah, do with that what you will. I think everybody should have, you know, two or three boyfs at a time, should you have the space in your schedule to accommodate that type of a lifestyle. And, you know, you don't always have to have multiple boyfs all the time. You don't even always have to have a boyf. This can be a seasonal thing. You can rotate them in, rotate them out. Some can be benched. Some can just be ejected from the stadium altogether. It just really, you know, there can be a roster. There can be a corral. There can be any sort of wait list. Moving on to some really salacious San Gabriel Valley chisme. And if you are from the San Gabriel Valley, this will be of particular interest to you. I want to start by saying that the San Gabriel Valley has plenty going on and it gets kind of overlooked and ignored. And I think that's on purpose. Like, I think the SGV likes to lay low and likes to kind of be off the radar. They don't want all the attention. They don't want all the smoke because then they can just do what they do. So I came across this story in the Los Angeles Times. You know the one. There is a very interesting friendship here that I would love to know more about between Councilwoman Victoria Martinez Muela and cannabis entrepreneur Sigrid Lopez. So one of them was a lobbyist and the other was a city council member. They also ended up becoming very good friends, but that friendship soured after a very odd series of events. They went to Cuba together. Sigrid Lopez attended the councilwoman's 2017 wedding, and they were both very big figures in San Gabriel Valley politics. I'm speaking in the past tense as if they're dead. They're definitely still alive. I'm like really just kind of reading to you guys, right, off of the LA Times article. So Martinez Muela, a member of the El Monte City Council, voted against allowing retail sales of cannabis in El Monte. It's just so happened that the proposal to allow for the retail selling of cannabis in El Monte, that was a proposal championed by Sigrid Lopez. Remember, their friend. And the councilwoman, Martinez Muela, shoots it down, votes against it. So now, Sigrid Lopez has signed a sworn declaration as part of a complaint submitted to the Los Angeles County District Attorney's Office alleging that Councilwoman Martinez Muela may or may not have accepted a $1,100 gift from Sigrid Lopez for a medical procedure and failed to disclose it on financial statements in violation of the state's political ethics law. And guess what kind of medical procedure that money was for? According to Sigrid Lopez, that money was for a breast augmentation surgery for Councilwoman Martinez Muela. So the LA Times gets a hold of Martinez Muela, interviews her. She didn't deny accepting financial assistance, but Councilwoman Muela also said that she didn't do anything wrong. According to Councilwoman Martinez Muela, Sigrid Lopez was a generous friend who also drove her to and from her breast augmentation procedure, and that Sigrid Lopez also cared for her afterwards. So that's confusing. That's weird. That's odd. What happened between the two of them? 1 minute, Sigrid Lopez is helping to pay for Councilwoman Martinez's breast augmentation, driving her to and from the surgery and caring for her. Next thing you know, Councilwoman Martinez is voting against the retail cannabis proposal championed by Sigrid Lopez. And Lopez goes on to file a legal complaint against the councilwoman. What a tangled web we have here. So in the very same declaration, Sigrid Lopez said she also provided Councilwoman Martinez Muela with other types of financial assistance to help form a nonprofit. Although the declaration does not specify the amount, Lopez said it was $1,500. And Lopez and Councilwoman Martinez Muela are listed in state business filings as officers for a charity called Angels Advocate Inc. So there's something in existence. Something was created, something was filed, incorporated. Apparently, Councilwoman Martinez Muela acknowledged receiving assistance but couldn't remember the amount either. The project ultimately never got off the ground. There's more. See, Sigrid Lopez was kind of like, it seems like Sigrid was really, I don't know if I'm saying her name correctly. Like, please forgive me if I'm butchering it. I didn't have a chance to call her and ask. But it kind of seems like Sigrid was really throwing a lot of money at this friendship with the councilwoman. So Sigrid Lopez told the LA Times that she also paid $5,000 in expenses for Councilwoman Martinez Muela on a trip that they took to Cuba a few years back. So Lopez was paying for the hotels, the airfare, rum and cigars, of course. It's not a trip to Cuba without the cigars and the rum. Havana Club, baby. The allegation is not part of the complaint submitted to the district attorney's office, so she's not like reporting this as part of the legal suit, but she is talking to the Times about it. Sigrid Lopez is letting us know. She paid for trips. She paid for boob jobs. She was paying for nonprofits. She was really throwing money at Martinez Muela. And if you ask me, I think that it was obviously pay to play. I think Sigrid Lopez was cultivating a friendship with Councilwoman Martinez Muela that was also about politics and making sure that her bill and her proposal to sell cannabis in El Monte, that it would get pushed through. So when Councilwoman Martinez Muela voted against it, okay, well, that was not the deal. That was not the deal. What's going on here? This is all speculation on my end. Just my cursory reading of this article. And I come to the conclusion that that's exactly what happened. And so, of course, Sigrid was like, listen. No, not today, not now, not ever. And she took her happy ass to the civil courthouse, to Stanley Moss, I'm assuming, and filed her legal complaint. her lawsuit, whatever the fuck it is that she filed. She went and she filed and she told the district attorney, and here we are. But what's crazy, what's odd, what's wild is they both insist that the friendship was real. So Lopez is saying that any gifts or money she bestowed upon the councilwoman were not meant to influence decisions by the councilwoman. And the councilwoman said she voted on principle and did not favor her friend. Martinez Muela insists that the complaint is payback for having cast herself as a, quote, corruption fighter, raising alarms over conflicts of interest at City Hall and alleged shady dealings related to cannabis licensing. And both women say they feel used and betrayed by the other. There's so much more to this story. I don't even know where to stop because there's just like layers upon layers upon layers. So if anybody has any more info about this drama in the San Gabriel Valley between Sigrid Lopez and Councilwoman Martinez Muela, the breast augmentations, the bills not getting passed, you know, the trips to Cuba, the whole shebang, let me know. Hit me up because I want to know more. I need to know more. I have to know more. And I know that there's more. Okay, Marihuanera, so I have a question. Have you ever had an experience where somebody finds out that you're a marihuanera and that you like to get high, but they also have a crush on you and they want to date you? So in order to try and impress you, they ask you if you want to smoke with them. They offer to smoke you out. But then, when the fateful smoke sesh finally arrives, and you guys sit down, and you spark up, and this person who was talking a big game, I'm gonna smoke you out, I'm gonna bring that good shit, da-da-da, I got you. All of a sudden, they're one-hit wonders, and they cannot hang. I don't know who I feel more embarrassed for this person who thought that they were just going to, like, I don't know what they thought was going to happen if they knew that they have no weed tolerance at all. Like, are you okay? Can I help you somehow? Do you need some water? Do I need to burp you? Like, should I call someone? Do you have an EpiPen? I don't know, because you look like you're suffering, you know? There's that embarrassment for the other party, but then I feel embarrassed for myself. Like, how does this keep happening to me? And what kind of a monster am I? Like, now does this person think that I'm just some type of, like, roided up pothead, that I'm just smoking, like, this genetically modified, like, monster weed, and I have, like, like inhuman levels as far as my tolerance goes. And I don't know, because I feel like some people don't like when a woman smokes too much. And I don't know, it's something I've been thinking about, because I feel like there are people out there who are like, yeah, I'm cool with like a pothead, I'm cool with the smoker. But then they're really not, because I'm like, okay, but this is a lifestyle. Do you understand? Do you understand how often this is happening? Like, do you really, are you hearing me? are you here with me? Are you understanding? So if that has happened to you, marihuaneras, I want to know. DM me, leave a comment, leave a review. I'm at @Mala_Munoz. And let me know, because I find this fascinating, especially for the single marihuaneras out there. This comes up all the fucking time. All the time. All the time. All the time. Before the podcast even came out, I actually did an interview with the one and only Miriam Gurpa of American Dirt Scandal fame. Miriam is basically the whistleblower who alerted everybody to the trash that is American Dirt. Look her up. She has an amazing digital magazine called Tasteful Rude. And Miriam interviewed me before I had even put out the first episode about Marihuanera and the project. And I told her this story, and you can read about this in the interview that I did with Miriam for Tasteful Root. It's up on the website. Go check it out. It's called Stories for Stoners, and it's about the show. So I told Miriam the story about how one time, you know, in my 20s, I'm still in my 20s, but earlier in my 20s, previously, before now, I went through this phase where I was always losing my license, like every time I would go out. It was a mess. And I don't know what was going on with me, but I would go out, I would lose my license. I was a regular at the Montebello DMV. Like, I was always there to get my license replaced. So there was this one time where, like, I didn't have my license on me. And I also, like, didn't have any money because I had also lost my debit card on this particular night out. So I have, like, no way to pay for anything and I have no identification. So I'm like, fuck, how am I gonna get some weed. I'm all out and I don't want to really drive if I don't have my license on me. Like, I can't go pull out money from the ATM because I don't have my card on me. It's nighttime. Like, my options are limited. But then I remembered that there was this guy who was in my DMs and, like, wanting to hang out with me. So I hit him up and I was like, hey, do you smoke? And then he was like, yeah, I smoke. So I was like, great. Do you want to hang out and smoke? And he was like, yeah. Like, I'll smoke you out. Like, let's chill. So I meet up with this guy and we start to hang out. And, you know, I'm not trying to be all, like, fucking, like, aggressive and thirsty and, like, oh, where's the fucking weed? Like, pull it out. But in my brain, I wanted to do that. However, you know, we're socializing, we're talking, and eventually I ask, like, hey, so, like, do you want to smoke? You know? And look, admittedly, yes, I went over there with one intention. It was to smoke. It was to smoke weed. It was to get high. That's the only thing that I wanted to do. That was the only thing on God's green earth that I wanted for myself that night. I was asking for nothing else, you know? And you know what he says to me? He says, actually, I would really like to be, like, clear-headed and present to really enjoy our time together, because I really want to get to know you. Now, a nice girl would say, oh, that's so sweet. I really appreciate that. But me, bitch, I was pissed. In my heart of hearts, the betrayal, the frustration that I felt, dear God, I said, Lord Jesus H. Christ, why have you forsaken me? Why? Why are you forcing me to hang out with this person who wants to get to know me sober? Jesus Horatio Christ, this is unfair. This is cruel. We did, in fact, chat. Fully present and in the moment. Unencumbered by cannabis. I know. And this is why I'm still single. This is impossible. Marihuaneras, if you know me, and most of you don't, that's okay. You're gonna get to know me, and that's the fun part of all of this. But if you do know me, then you do know that I'm quite the clumsy pothead. I have essentially broken every single glass, bong, piece, and or pipe that I have ever owned. And if this is you, if you're like this too, let me know. DM me. Share your clumsy pothead stories with me so that I feel less bad about the path of destruction that I've left behind in my wake. The only bong that has survived my clutches is a Mota glass bong. This bad boy is literally industrial strength. It's super thick. It is, like, indestructible. This is from a Latina-owned glass company, Mota Glass, founded by the one and only Susie Greens, Susie Plasencia. Check her out. Check out Mota Glass. And you can actually use my affiliate code for 15% off of your next bong order at Mota Glass. So go to mota-glass.com, make a purchase, put in an order, and use my affiliate code Marihuanera P4P. That's Marihuanera, the letter P, the number 4, the letter P, for 15% off of your next Mota Glass bong. You can also check the show notes and my Instagram captions for my Mota Glass affiliate code. All right, Marihuanetas, I would love for you to leave a review or comment and let me know how your relationship with weed began. How old were you? Where were you? Who were you with? What did you smoke? How did you smoke it? I asked my Instagram followers on my story to describe their relationship with weed and how it began. And here's what some of you said. Now, I didn't ask them if it was okay for me to share their responses publicly, so I'm not gonna say anyone's name just for the sake of privacy. But if you are interested, give me a follow on Instagram because I do regular polls and question boxes about cannabis on my story. And if you're lucky, your story might just end up on an episode of Marihuaneta, a podcast for potheads. So how did your relationship with weed begin? One of you said smoking out of an apple in high school. Who among us has not smoked out of a fruit at one point or another? Another Marihuaneta near and dear to my heart and our hearts, edibles to help me sleep. We love that. That's wholesome. I was 15 and took an edible during class. I mean, it happens. This is not a show for children. I'm not encouraging young people to take edibles in class. But there are some young people who, use cannabis for a variety of reasons, including medical reasons, as prescribed by their doctors and medical professionals. So no shame, you know, I don't know anybody's circumstances. And again, this is not a show for children. This is an adult show. I checked the explicit content box, okay? Smoking with bulldogs after class outside on the grass, high off my ass. Thank you for this poem. Let me know if this counts as a haiku. I was taking classes at Harvard and needed to chill out. My back kept seizing during finals. That's A? Ugh, the stress. The stress of the Academy of the Ivory Tower. Lord. But I do like the idea of you smoking at Harvard. Getting high. Harvard Yard. You know, smoke a joint on Harvard Yard. That was terrible. Do not tag any Bostonians. I hope my college friends don't hear this. They definitely are listening. They're so supportive of me. I love them. Love you guys. Besitos. Can't wait to see you soon. Thank you all so much for sharing. What topic should I talk about next time? This is a weekly show, so now I have two weekly shows. And if you guys have ideas for things that I should be covering, hit me up, let me know, leave a review, leave a comment. I want to hear from you. Cha. Today's guest is Andrea Aliceda. Andrea is a weed trimmer, a journalist. Marihuaneras, you are in for a treat. So our guest today is Andrea Aliceda. Andrea is a weed trimmer, a journalist, and she is a fellow marihuanera who happens to be dating an ex-pothead. So we're going to talk about what it's like to date as a marihuanera when your boyfriend doesn't smoke. We're also going to talk about what it's like to work at a trim camp while California is on fire. Like, quite literally. Andrea was working at a trim camp and California was being just consumed by wildfires. But of course, the trim must go on. She wrote an article about it. She took a very iconic photo from her vantage point at the trim camp. You can catch my interview with Andrea about her time at trim camp while California was on fire on Patreon. It's part of the extended episode, the episode 2 extended cut. It's on patreon.com/locatora_productions. From here on out, every episode of Marihuaneta is going to include an extended cut on Patreon. It's the parts of the episode that we just could not fit in to the main episode and the main RSS feed. I talk a lot. I can go on and on and on forever. And there is just so much to discuss with each of my Marihuaneta special stoner guests. There's so much content that we have to put it on Patreon. So you can go for $10 a month, become a Marihuaneta patron, patreon.com/locatora_productions to get those extended edits. All right, Marihuaneras, we have another hot, high, and happy guest with us today, a very special stoner by the name of Andrea Aliceda. Andrea, welcome to Marihuaneta. Who are you and what are you smoking?
Well, thank you for having me. My name is Annalisa. Like you said, I'm a writer, journalist, and today I'm smoking something I haven't tried before. It's called Old Palitos, and it's 10 little joints, and the strain is called Appalachia.
Cute. I love the Old Pal brand. I have had the Old Pal before. I haven't had the Palito. So those are like the little baby joints. So cute. I love a little baby joint. And I love when you see them all in their little like carton, like they've been put to bed. They're napping. They're so cute.
In their little coffin.
Well, Andrea, I'm so excited to talk to you today for a bunch of reasons. Because you're a stoner, because I'm a stoner, but also because you do some really interesting work in the cannabis industry. You've done some writing, getting stoned while Mexican, trimming weed while the world burns. So I want to thank you for coming on the show today. And I want to ask you to talk to us a little bit about your relationship with weed. Do you identify as a marihuanera? Why or why not? And how did your relationship with weed begin?
Well, okay. So, I mean, the term marihuanera, I hadn't really heard before, to be sincere with you, but I have been called like, eres una marihuana, So how do I identify or my relationship to weed? So I was thinking about that actually yesterday when you sent me the email, and I was thinking like, damn, like, what is my relationship to weed? Because I smoke a lot.
Would you say daily?
Oh, absolutely daily. Yes. And I think it's like a mix of things, but I think it boils down to like kind of like a maternal relationship where I feel like very like soothed and like taken care of when I'm smoking.
And so the plant is your mother in this situation.
Mama Mari.
That's beautiful. The nurturer.
Yes, okay. Exactly. Because I feel like when I'm writing, it kind of like get deeper into the subject or kind of like get like a little more immersed in it. Or like when I'm feeling kind of anxious, like it's kind of there to like soothe me and calm me down, or when I'm feeling depressed or whatever. So it's definitely something I lean on for those types of things. And also, I mean, I love just smoking a joint with like my friends or just chilling or watch a movie or something with my boyfriend. So
it really is the best. I mean, I agree with you. Social situations, friendships, lovers, for me, it's almost not a necessity, but I really love and appreciate when I can be with somebody and spend time with somebody who also enjoys smoking and also wants to smoke.
Oh, yeah.
And we can just vibe in it together. So you mentioned you have a boyfriend. Was that like a prerequisite? Must be a pothead? Or did it just happen that way?
Well, I'm going to call him out right now because he doesn't smoke anymore. Smokes every now and again, but he made me a stoner. I'm not going to say it's his fault, but so we dated when we were young, when I was like 18, 19, and like he was smoking pretty heavily. And we would hang out and we would smoke and we would hang out under this tree that we called the wisdom tree. And we'd just get really high and look at the stars and like just
classic
marihuanadas.
Beautiful. That's gorgeous.
And now he doesn't really smoke that much, but we're trying to look for like CBD or other kind of types of weed.
So he flipped you and then he flew the coop is what I'm hearing. That's
exactly
what happened.
Exactly. I'm like, yes. At first it was kind of awkward. Like, I just can't, I'm going to light up now. And he's like, light up with me. Like, and I would just get in my head. Am I like, should I not be smoking? Is this wrong? And then at some point I was just like, oh my gosh, you know what? Like, I love smoking. Like, I'm just going to smoke. Like, some people have their glass of wine at night or whatever. And I have weed. So
that's it.
It's simple. Yeah, exactly.
And I feel too, it's interesting because now you've got me thinking, because almost everybody that I date is also a stoner. Like, I don't know. I just prefer to date people who also like to smoke weed, right? Like, you get it, right?
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, like, not to be weird, but okay, so like, what do we do now? Like, so what do you guys do together? Like, what's the activity? So what do you do?
I think, like, you know, like when you're like, oh, okay, like, let's smoke and watch a movie. Like, yeah, we're gonna get high and watch a movie.
Yeah,
we'll do the activity, but I'm the only one getting high. Also, like, it really helped that he was such a big stoner beforehand, because I know sometimes people can be pretty judgmental.
Oh yeah,
about that. Yeah, so that, I think that was like pretty key.
It's very key because they don't get it. otherwise. Yeah. Right. And I need you to get it. I need you to really get it so exactly. I can get it.
So you don't want to be like stressing out about doing something that feels really good with the person you love, you know, or the person you're spending time with.
How did it come about that you started working with cannabis professionally and then you started writing about it?
Okay, so yes, I started working at the Trim Camp first. It was my boyfriend, actually, his friend, Javi Suave, that's his nickname on the mountain or the Trim Camp. Javi Suave, yeah, so he has some friends that were starting a grow. He brought my boyfriend on. He had gone for the summer and he liked it. During the fall, I was like, you know, like at that point, when I was a kid, I really wanted to be an actress and,
Yes.
And so I was like, you know what, and I had done some stuff like right before, like I had done like commercial or whatever. And I was like, I'm going to give it one last shot and I'm going to see if I really want to pursue acting. And so, you know, I'm going to get out of San Diego. I'm going to go to San Francisco because I had friends that were living there and my boyfriend Marcel was close by. So, I was like, fuck it, I'm going, you know, let's do this. And I take the class and I'm there for about like a month or so. And on the weekends, I'm going to the Trim Camp and I'm making money over there for city life. And then that was over, the class was over. And then I just ended up weaseling my way into trimming, just like staying there. And so, yeah, the situation is like, it's on a hilltop. Beautiful. And you're just camping there with like 15 other people.
It's literally like trim camp. It's camp for literally. Trimmers. Camp for weed trimmers.
Literally. Yes. Yes. It's like the adult version of sixth grade camp.
Fun, but better. That's excellent. I learn something new every day. And this is the point of this podcast too, is there are a lot of aspiring marihuaneras out there. There's amateur marihuaneras out there listening. There are undercover marihuaneras that don't even know they're marihuaneras yet, who are like interested and want to get into it. So not everybody listening to this is like the OG stoner pothead, right? And I'm always learning something new myself. So I love that you're bringing this experience and this knowledge, because I didn't realize that this was the case. So I'm assuming that trimming is something like any other type of agriculture, like it's seasonal, right? So
yes.
Is that why there's a camp set up?
I think not everyone does it this way. Like I'm okay. sure like, yeah, I've heard of other people like trimming and like they go and then they leave at the end of the day or whatever. And even sometimes they'll hire people like from in town and they'll go like during the day and then they'll leave. But a lot of people kind of just are like living. They're coming from all sorts of places, you know, like all over the sometimes world, but really kind of just like in California, you don't have to pay rent, you know, like you get to wake up and go to work and then you work, and then you go to sleep, you know, like it's like you have more opportunity to make also more money if you're working more because they pay you out by weight. So the more you can trim in a day, the more money you make.
This sounds like really fun. Are there some trimmers who maybe they'll go to trim camp once and then, you know what, I did it. That was cool. Or is this like, I want to know, can I dabble?
It's kind of hard to because it's like, it depends, right? Like where you're trying to work at. Think of it more like a mom and pop farm. They kind of like go on like a trust basis with people. So they kind of have to like really trust the people that they're hiring and bringing on, because like most of the time the people are living up there. So it's kind of hard to just kind of have like passerby.
Sure. I'm just stopping by.
Yeah.
Just dropping by trim camp.
But you know, you can probably definitely like go to like a farm that maybe like actually hires people and like like a different setup that's more traditional.
Yeah. I mean, look, I'm not trying to fuck up the grow. I'm not trying to fuck up the trim. I will appreciate the trimmers from afar. Thank you for your service. Thank you for your service, truly. Thank you for your service. Because if it wasn't for you, like, how would we smoke our weed? I want to ask you about this article that you wrote for Cannabitch, Getting Stoned While Mexican. I think that this topic is so important because in the article, you explore some of the really complicated cultural, social, and historical ties between Mexican identity and cannabis consumption. And you start off this article with a story. When you were 16, you got a call from your dad crossing the border back to San Diego with your younger brother, and he asked you if you smoke marijuana. Oh. What happened in that conversation?
Well, what happened was he got super pissed at me. So he was at the border crossing and like they wanted to inspect his car. So he was like, I better not have weed in here.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, like I definitely did not. But he was like, but he wanted to know if I smoked. So I was like, oh, you know, he sounds like he wants to be really understanding or whatever. And so I was like, I'll tell him, like, yeah, I smoke. And he was like, just went off and got super pissed and like was like equating it to doing heroin. And, like,
no. Oh.
And I was like, nah, like, no.
Not heroin. So how did it get resolved?
Well, I probably like lost his trust, like all dramatic.
How can I ever trust you ever again?
And I'm like, no.
Aww.
Also, like, he was probably just super pissed and I was like super hurt that he would say that. And like he just also made like a comment, like super snipe comment about like family member, and like I was just like, damn, like I really thought you wanted to have like a chill conversation about smoking and that you wanted to like learn a little about your daughter's life, you know, outside of the home.
it was a trap.
It was a trap. Yes. I was like, damn it.
How about now? So that happened when you were 16, and how has the relationship evolved? Has it stayed the same? Does he feel the same? Like, what's it like now with your family and your marijuanidad?
With my mom, actually, it's super, super chill. She did used to get a little, well, she definitely didn't like that I smoked weed and didn't approve of me smoking weed. But one day I call her and I'm like, hey mom, she was on her way back home after going to the store. And I was like, hey mom, like, so I'm about to get on my period and I'm having cramps and they really hurt, and like I'm gonna take medicine and it's like really nice and soothing, and like and I was like, do you want to take my medicine with me? And my mom was like basically saying that okay.
A ver.
No, and so she picks me up and I'm like, all right, mom, let's, you know, let's go somewhere chill. Let's go by the lake. We're getting out of the car and she opens up her trunk and she has like a 12 pack of beer. And she like, I was like, what?
Queen.
And she like,
queen, crossfade queen.
Dude, oh, like I was like, what is happening?
Yes.
Like, what? So then we went and we sat on the picnic table and I had like this little pipe that I had bought in like Puebla that was made out of clay. I don't know if she hadn't seen weed before or like maybe it was a long time or I guess, but kind of also like, yeah, a ver si sabes que onda.
Because mom is like, she knows she's bad. She knows a thing or two.
Yes.
We don't always know what our moms know. Our moms are like baddies and they like keep it a secret from us.
Exactly. Exactly. So then I'm like showing her how to hit it. She's like, no, I see no. And then she takes it and she does it. I'm like, ah, okay, okay.
Wow. La mera marihuanera reveals herself. Does your dad just not talk about it? He just doesn't bring it up?
We don't really keep in touch. Yeah. So, but I mean, at some point we did talk in a period where we were talking, I should say. And I did like open up to him about the weed farm. And like, I kind of explained to him like the process, like, and try to tell him like, oh, it's like you're manicuring a plant, you know, and like you're processing it and getting ready to like sell it. So he was like understanding that from like, I think like a point of curiosity, but still would like still thinks the way he thinks and still would never like smoke.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure, sure. I think there's also something about when it's your daughter that's smoking weed, as opposed to maybe if there's a son in the family that might be partaking. I just feel like it lands differently with some parents. I think it's hard for some parents because I feel like smoking is seen as almost like a masculine thing. And like being a pothead is still kind of, I think for older people, a masculine thing. And so
oh, for sure.
I feel like there's a little bit of that, like, oh, this is not like ladylike for my daughter, you know, to be behaving in this way. Yeah. And I'm wondering, I think that that's part of why there's this kind of cultural stigma against it. I think that's part of it, like within Mexicans, Latinos, what have you. And in your article, you talk about this, right? Like smoking while Mexican, while Mexican-American, what have you. What are some of those different factors that make it awkward or complicated for us? Even though our communities have this very long history with marijuana, I feel like it's my birthright. I feel like it's my culture. I feel like it's my fucking legacy. Like, but why does the stigma still persist? Harry J. Anslinger's Reefer Madness campaign is what you're talking about, right?
Yes, his Reefer Madness campaign, exactly. And basically demonizing weed and taking marijuana, which was not a word that had any stigma on it, and then stigmatizing it to kind of attach it to like Mexican identity, you know, basically criminalize the weed or just criminalize their existence, as well as Black people. We saw like with jazz, like jazz cigarette, like
that Harry J. Anslinger basically was the Federal Bureau of Narcotics' first director. And in the early 1930s, he was really attaching marijuana and using that word very specifically as opposed to cannabis, right? In the early 1930s, attaching the word marijuana and all the stigma to Black and Mexican working class communities in particular. A lot of his Reefer Madness campaign was about like talking about it's the devil's weed and how it's going to corrupt, you know, good white people.
Exactly.
Essentially.
Exactly. Obviously, that had like a huge impact on American culture and the way that American culture views drug use. For that reason, it also had a very deep impact in Mexico. Those ideas about like drug use have been attached to like maybe like being a flojo and like being a vagabundo. And like, I mean,
that's a good word. Vagabundo, that's a good word.
Yeah. So, yeah, like I feel like it's definitely look down upon also for those reasons. And also like the cartel, you know, there's a lot of violence attached to it as well, and like some people experience that firsthand and they live with that trauma and then they don't want to have anything to do with weed. They don't want their kids to smoke weed either or whatever. And so, you know, and that's very real and valid.
Absolutely. Very valid. And the trauma associated with the stigma and the criminalization is very real because many people have themselves or have had family who have been incarcerated for very long periods of time, who have had really due to the state and due to criminalization and this racist criminalization have had their lives very much ruined. Because of criminalization of cannabis and the way it's been attached to people of color. And this is going to come up often in the show just because it's a reality of our community and of the topic. Post-legalization, they're still locking up Black and brown people at disproportionate numbers, even in legal states where it's legal, like California, not only recreationally, but also medicinally. They're still finding ways to lock up Black and brown people at wild numbers, while young white people are making billions off of the same plant. So there's also a very real fear, and a lot of us are in communities that are heavily policed. There's like danger, you know? Yeah. So I know that our families also come from a place of concern because they know it's not safe and they know that there's an unfair application of the
law. Absolutely. Just something that, you know, like you just know it's wrong. And like you see like the violence like that it has caused onto people's lives, probably just even have like a visceral reaction to that, you know, like you just don't want anything to do with that. And you don't want to be in a vulnerable position where you or someone you love could get into trouble.
There's endless examples, really, of people of color who have been fired or stripped of titles and who have lost out on things, on accomplishments because of cannabis. Sha'Carri Richardson is just one example recently.
Yeah.
I think that I was recording the first episode of Marihuanera, and at the time they gave Sha'Carri Richardson a 1-month suspension because THC was found in her system. THC is not a performance enhancing drug.
Right.
Like just like we were the flojera. We were just talking
literally,
about
literally, right? Yes.
But they gave her a 1-month suspension. It was it looked like she was going to compete in the Tokyo Olympics, not in the 100 meters, which she won and set a record in her qualifying race, but in the relay, in the 4x100. Mm-hmm. Now it looks like they're not letting her compete in any in the Olympics in the 2021 Tokyo Olympics. And I think it's interesting too, because when Savannah Guthrie is on the Today Show interviewing Sha'Carri Richardson, you know, she's asking about marijuana and using the word marijuana, right? This is the Today Show and this is broadcast television and this is like top of the hour. Why are we not using the word cannabis?
Right.
Because that's the word that we use now when we talk about. So there's a continuation of this, of attaching the word to people of color.
Stigma, exactly.
With the stigma, like, oh, well, it was bad this time, you know, because a Black woman was partaking, so we're gonna use the bad word for it, which is marijuana. And I feel like that's part of the reason why it's complicated too, because I wanted to name the show Marihuanera because I think it's such a beautiful word. Honestly, I think it's a great word. I love the idea that like we exist, like this is a type of person, like this is like a chick from your neighborhood or from your school, or it's you or your prima or whatever. And she's a marihuanera, she's a marihuana, like she smokes, you know, because there's a lot of us and it's a lifestyle.
It is.
And I just wanted to kind of make visible, you know, that lifestyle and that archetype and that person. But I think there's also a kind of reclaiming. Sure. Yeah, we do have this history. We do love the plant. We do smoke it every day. So you have a guerrilla style, vegan, plant-based, 420 friendly Mexican food project.
So Cilantropía is cilantro and philanthropía into one word. And at first it was kind of like a blog that I had started because I was kind of going like on a health journey and I wanted to learn about the medicinal properties of food. And I was like super interested in that. And I was taking a course on it and like becoming certified. I kind of just wanted to like put out there sort of like what I was learning and like paying for and just kind of like, you know, like making it, those things that I was learning like accessible to people. It's a primary foods and the secondary foods, and the primary foods are things like relationship, career, exercise, you know, physical activity, things like that are external or internal, but not like food itself.
Interesting.
And then secondary food is actually like solid foods. So you have to feed yourself basically on these like primary foods first before you actually consider like how you're feeding yourself through like to food. I realized that like, because I had just moved to New York, I was starting to feel like homesick, like super, super homesick. But then like after like the excitement of being in a new city wore off, like I was like, man, I just feel kind of down. Like I'm kind of bummed. And I like, I'm in New York. Like I'm in fucking New York. Like why am I bummed out? You know, like. And then I kind of started to realize like that I was missing my culture, you know, like I missed having like a burrito at midnight or whatever. And like, I, you know, miss having like tacos and like being able to go to like the fruterias and have like a juice or, you know, things like that. And like, that's kind of when it clicked for me that like culture was like a huge component to like my overall health. And so after that, I kind of just felt like, well, I don't want to tell people how to eat, like, because health is just, it's subjective, you know, and it's very individual and everybody has like a different experience. And I don't think like there's like a one size fits all. And like, I kind of like, once that kind of clicked for me, I kind of just was like, okay, I don't want to really go down that route anymore.
Especially, I feel like, okay, I was going to say, because I feel like some of the like super ultra like health and wellness oriented food stuff ends up being like weird and racist. Like, like sounds racist. Like, sounds racist to me.
Oh, absolutely. Like,
you know,
we didn't come up with matcha. And so, okay, so then I had that realization and I was like, I don't know, because like, yeah, I don't want to be telling people what to eat. And I want to be eating comforting foods. I want to eat foods that like feed my soul. Right. And so I don't want to like be eating like, I don't know. Like, I feel like I was like trying to have like this very like whitewashed diet of health foods, you know, and like not being able to like see that my own culture's foods could also be healthy and like how that's like fucked up.
Oh, super healthy. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Like so many like really healthy foods. Like, yeah. And you, or even like sort of like transform to like substitute certain things and then voila, you know, you're good. So then I was like, you know what? Like, I want to make these cookies that like I have usually like around Christmas time, the polvorones, and they're like a nut butter cookie. Why not like infuse it with wheat? And so then, yeah, that's kind of how that came about and was just kind of like selling like via DM. I'm going to be opening orders soon.
Yes. _ CILANTROPIA. I love this idea. I do feel like there's not enough options in the edible like world. Like it's a lot of candies and gummies, mm-hmm. but yeah. I want more. I want more variety. Andrea, is there anything else that you would like our marihuaneras at home to know? Are you comfortable sharing your Instagram handle, website?
Oh yeah, things like yeah. That? Mm-hmm. So my Instagram is @Andrea_Aliceda. My website is AndreaAliceda.com. Yeah. And those are my links. And I'm on Twitter also, but it's @AlicedaAndrea.
Sweet. Well, I'll see you on Twitter, girl. Thank you so much. Girl. Yeah. Thank you so much for taking time out of your day to come on the podcast. This is Marihuanera, a podcast for potheads. Follow Andrea. Read her work. Andrea is super cool. And buy her vegan THC infused vegan polvorones. Did I mention they're vegan?
Oh, yes. Cookies.
Compran los cookies, okay? Locamores, if you pledge at $25 a month, the Locamores anonymous tier, you get access to all the marihuanera incentives, as well as Locas por Libros, as well as the Locatora radio tier. See, now every single Locatora production property has its own tier on Patreon. I want to thank our patrons, starting with Gerardo, Alejandra, Ollie, Chelsea, Daniela, Jeanette, Ruthie, Christian, Crisol, Madison, Samuel, Yvonne, Carla, Magdalena, Jasmine, Bailey, Cristina, Edna, Selena, Avocado Toast, Rosalina, Sirenia, amazing name, Carla, Dan, Ajopi, and Cristina. Thank you all so much for your continued support. If you would like to become a patron, head to patreon.com/locatora_radio. Thank you for lighting up and tuning in to Marihuanera, a podcast for potheads. I'm your host, Mala Munoz. Please visit locatoraradio.com to learn more about us and Locatora Productions. Follow us across social media. I'm @Mala_Munoz. You can also follow us @Locatora_radio. Thank you so much for lighting up and tuning in. Our audio editor is Stephanie Franco. Our Marihuanera jingle is by Crisol Lomeli. Marihuanera logo art is done by the incredible Micah Amaro. This episode written and hosted by me, Mala. Thank you for joining us. This has been a Locatora production.